From St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Houston, Texas, a joyful Christian community, this is Soulful Sundays, a weekly podcast of our 5 o'clock service. I'm Patrick Miller, director of St. Mark's. Welcome.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and he said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000. If he cannot, then, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So, therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So let's go ahead and get out in front of it early. Go ahead and get it going. I'm going to make a few assumptions, a few leaps, right here at the beginning, that most of you are Christians, that you all, most of you, have been Christians for a while now. Probably some of you were teenagers or even earlier, and you like it. It's cool. I mean, you like stuff about it. You like the forgiveness piece. Forgiving might be a little hard on you, but you like being forgiven for sure. You like to say nice things to people, like "bless you," or "God bless their heart," or "God bless them," which we all know is actually a Texan or a Southern way of saying they're not very bright. You also like to say the word Jesus, or I do. Jesus is a great word. It's a great guy. I say Jesus mostly in the grocery store when I'm in the leave line and the person in front of me is going slow, the checker lady, man, and the person in front of me is wanting to write a check and can't find a pen, and my dog is in the car, and I say to myself, "Who writes a check? Jesus." Anyway, we use that name, you know, because we're Christians. And so today, I feel like I stood up here in front of you and read to you some really uncomfortably strange words that are be hard to explain to the children. Let's get this straight. If you want to be my disciple, whoever does not hate father, mother, brothers, sisters, people, the list seems endless, yourself, you cannot be my disciple. And as a good theologian, I went around and went into the words and went to look up hate to see if it actually is hate. Is it really hate? So, okay, let's see. Yes, no, it's hate. It's actually hate. It's not prettified. It's not kind of dislike. It's a visceral hate. So I was sitting there kind of trying to figure out, well, this is going to be great. How do you do this? How do you spin Jesus so that people feel good about themselves, because Christians typically like to feel good about themselves. And the only way to spin it is to kind of go right at it. And if you remember a few weeks ago, we had a similar passage that Jesus did not come to bring peace, but division, and to have father against son, mother against father. My favorite being mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law, as if that was new. And so here we are again with this sort of divisive, sort of weird Jesus saying about following him. And maybe we can find some relief in the comfortable ideas of symbol and in the comfortable ideas of hyperbole, because I feel like the passage is trying to get you to pay very close attention to the things that possess you, to look at your relationships, to understand who and what you're in relationship with and how that relationship is going. Because the church family is built on, not on bloodline, but on spiritual line. And we as a family have to look out to see how we're doing as a group, particularly as the Church of St. Mark's. What kind of family are we? Are we the kind of family that smothers? Are we the kind of family that doesn't allow for growth, that keeps people sort of repressed? Are we the kind of family that won't let children grow up or let people go? In my own family, many of you know I'm from Waco, and that my own narrative is sort of, for those of you visiting, it's pretty simple. When I was 4 years old, my father left the family, never to return. My sister was two. They were gone. My dad was gone. We moved to Waco to sort of retreat to my grandmother's house. I was raised in that house by my mother and my grandmother. And I looked around. I needed a dad. I had to find me some dad. And the best place I found, some of the best men I found, were at St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas, where these men taught me how to be a civilized. They coached me and stuff. They put up with me. They scolded me. They scared me. They were good men who worked hard at what they were doing. And so I patterned my life after them. I had to figure out something. And it hasn't stopped. It hasn't stopped. The family of God, I still find surrogate brothers and sisters, surrogate mothers and fathers in the St. Mark's congregation now. I found one, a surrogate dad, on Friday, unexpectedly. Somebody had died, and this one of you, a parishioner, it's not yours, by the way. He's not screaming. I know who it is, and you're good. But so he said, somebody had died, and he said, would you go with me to pay my respects at her graveside? And I said, sure, I'd be glad to go with you and pay our respects to her. She was a great person. So off we went, and I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm really good with directions. I know exactly where I am all of the time. I don't need Google Maps. I don't need Waze. I can find my way. I know how I'm doing. I'm really good at it. And the only people that disagree with me are my family. And Jesus called me to hate them, and they hate me, so we're good Christians in my house. But I am sure I know where to go in Forest Park, Lawndale, this great cemetery, because I buried her. And so off we go, and this parishioner, he trusted me and trusted me to no end, and I knew where I was going. And on the way there, his son called and to check in, and I got a little jealous as I eavesdropped. I wish I had a dad that I could call and check in on. And anyway, we get there to Forest Park, and I'm like, okay, what we do is we go past the chapel, and we angle to the right. Then we're going to bank a little left, and we're going to look for an orange-looking little sitting area, and we're going to go there, and it's going to be, her grave is here on the right. It's right off the road. There's a bench that's perpendicular to the road, very easy to find. And so after an hour, Forest Park Lawndale, I had to admit that I did not know where I was. And if you've ever seen a 6'4 Episcopal priest in a blazer waving his arms at people in golf carts who are trying to get to funerals to ask them, excuse me, where is she buried? I had to go back to the front, get a map, find my way to 34B, lot 110, plot 8. And the bench is not, it's not perpendicular, it's parallel. Those are different geometrical shapes, and I had to learn that on the fly on Friday. And so me and this man, we found our way to the grave. And we're sitting there on the bench that this woman had placed there for her sister, so she and her sister could sit there because her mother is buried there, her sister is buried there, and now she is buried there. So this man and I sat on the bench together, and we talked and we prayed and we sat, and it got kind of quiet. And as I'm sitting there in the quiet, I started singing to myself in my head. I remember the lyrics. The day before he died, I went to see him. I was grown and he was almost gone. So we closed our eyes and dreamed us up a kitchen and sang another verse to that old song. Come on, Jack. Those sons of guns are coming. Desperados waiting for a train. 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 And as I sat there with this man, I realized as he talked about his life and he talked about his story that still I find comfort in mentors. I'm still teachable, even if I'm arrogant about finding and knowing my way. I really don't. And the symbol of getting lost in a graveyard is so priceless, because graveyards are land that are set aside for ancestors, and when you're in one, often ancestors come and speak to you, and there in the graveyard, I hear, you can't stay here. You got to go out and you got to live. You got to live your life. Those uncomfortable words of Jesus are meant to force you and me to evaluate our Christianity. We like being Christians, but are we willing to pay the price? The price being, are you willing to evaluate all of it? Your family of origin, your family at church, you. How deep into you are you willing to go? Will you go marrow deep? Will you go so deep to find and to look at and to sometimes expel those things that possess you? The selling of your possessions, if you'll remember, I told you this 2 weeks ago, I'll remind you. That Greek word is not your stuff. That Greek word is you. It means being. To be my disciple, you must sell your being and follow me. What we're called to do is be surrogate family for each other. What we're called to do is take those odd journeys into the graveyard and back to be reminded of hope and love, care, teaching each other, holding each other, reminding each other. Because really, we're all desperados waiting on that train. And it's coming. It's coming. And it's not here yet. And so until it comes, live. Live and love and enjoy every second. That's what Jesus wants from you. Amen.
I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't die.
This episode was produced by St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Houston, Texas. Special thanks to our band, led by Cameron Deason-Hammond, and featuring Jeremy Nuncio, Asher Pudlow, and Andrew Gordon. Join us every Sunday for Soulful Sundays at 5 p.m. at St. Mark's, 3816 Bel Air Boulevard in Houston, Texas, or visit us online at stmarks-houston.org.